Our reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Roz. Just move that. Apologies to my brother and friend and the people on the PA there. I handed them the projector slides for today, literally as the service started. I thought Dave was always looking too calm and relaxed when we started a service, and I thought he was going to hit me, actually. Dave, thank you. Jude, sorry. If we can have those slides up, that would be great. Well, hello. Manda has already told us we are onto our penultimate line in the Creed. We've got one more line to go after this, and we're done, apart from the Amen. But we've got one line and then another one afterwards. The resurrection of the body. Now, just when I thought we'd dealt with all the complicated theological stuff, we haven't. Because we're presented with this line. And it's down to me to try and help us understand a little bit about the resurrection of the body. Now, I'm going to give you a warning now. We're not going to be able to unpack all this, all right? What I want to do is just open this verse up a little bit. Open it, a crack of it up, so you can explore more in your home groups or on your own or with friends, all right? So hopefully, this is going to open that doorway up. I think you may have more questions at the end of this, but that's good. That's fine, all right? It's good to question. And I hope you enjoy looking at this a bit further as we... As we move forward in this study. So, the resurrection of the body, what does it mean? Well, resurrection, bringing back to life. Can we just turn the volume down a little bit on that? Thank you. Bringing back to life the body. Well, what do we mean? What does this mean? Well, Paul helps us understand this, okay? Our verses today come from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we have only read a small proportion of that. The whole of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, all 58 verses, is all about the resurrection of the body. Paul goes into detail on it. So if you want to know, read it. He talks about things like, when will we be raised? What will our bodies look like? How will we be? And it's very helpful to us. Why is this important? Well, it's important for one reason in particular. It's all about hope. We know, as Christians, that this life is not the end of it. It is but an introduction to a very large book. an eternity. I remember someone showing an example once. Do you remember the ropes you used to get at school that you used to clamber up? Those big, thick ropes? Someone had one once, and I don't know where they got it from. It must have cost a fortune, but it would have started here, and the rope went all the way around the hall about several times. It went right out the back. And they had taped a small bit of electrical tape to this one end of this rope, about an inch. And what they were trying to show was, look, that's life as it is today on Earth. Look at what's to come. And even that falls down as an analogy, because how big is eternity? How long and how vast is eternity? Well, it is eternal. And we can't get our minds around that. But the hope of the Christian is that there is an eternity to come. Life everlasting. That is the hope that we live for. And yes, we live today as Christians. The blessing of coming to know Jesus when you're young is that you can spend a physical earthly lifetime getting to know him. When you become a Christian when you're a bit older, you don't have as much time to do that. But guess what? You've got eternity to try, all right? You're not going to miss out. But we come together today to learn more for what is ahead. And this is what this is all about. Now, there is something that can help us get our heads around this a little bit more, okay? And I want to take you back to a line in the creed that we've looked at before. We looked at Jesus Christ, and we profess belief in Jesus as Lord and Son of God. And there's a line that we say on there. We believe that he was what? Raised from the dead. We believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Was he raised in a physical body or a spiritual body? What do we think? A physical body. Jesus wasn't raised in a spiritual ghostly form, like an apparition. The Bible gives us clear stories of the people that saw and met Jesus when he was risen from the dead. And Jesus' body was like ours. It suffered pain. He ate. He drank. He embraced. It was a human body. And it was a human body that died on the cross, that was buried. And Jesus was raised physically. In what form was Jesus raised? Well, he was raised in a physical form, albeit in what the Bible calls a resurrection body, a body that is ready for eternity. I know it's difficult to start getting our heads around this, but you don't have to worry. It is what it is. And the Bible says that Jesus rose physically. Now, if Jesus rose and he had the same body as us, then we can have assurance that when we are raised from the dead, we will have a physical body, as Christ did. Christ is a mirror for us to look into of what is to come. Now, that works the other way around as well. And this is important, okay? If Christ did not raise physically, then we wouldn't have that evidence and hope for ourselves. But he did. If you doubt that you will be raised in a physical form, in a new body, if you struggle with that, you then have to also agree that Christ didn't raise physically. You have to believe that we will, because Christ did. If you doubt that, you doubt Christ rose. And the Bible says that as a Christian, if you believe that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you are a Christian. 1 Thessalonians tells us this: if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who fall asleep in Christ, who die in Christ. And so these two go together. We can have hope that we will be raised. Why am I making so much of a point about this? Well, because it's key to the hope of our Christian faith. And Paul goes into detail about this. And I want you to open your Bibles, if you've got one. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to take us through it. Because Paul answers some very big questions here. The greatest question, and I would say the greatest mystery that has ever faced mankind, is the question, what happens when we die? I would propose it is the greatest question. Musicians have written about it. Poets have written about it. Artists create and paint about it. Harold Houdini, the great escapologist, said that if it was possible to come back, he would. And he hasn't, as far as I'm aware. Not yet. People have mulled this over. But the answer is quite simple, okay? It's really simple. The answer to what happens when we die is either something or nothing. Either something happens or nothing happens. Well, it's quite obvious, Adam, isn't it? Well, it is and it isn't. The problem with going with the nothing option is that there is something inherent in humans, in us, that wants to shout out, no! That wants to cry out with all our energy and go, this can't be it. Surely there is something more than nothing. Something within us that wants more. And I don't imagine this question's ever going to drop away. I think it will be with us until Christ returns. And at that point, we will know. But people continue to seek the answer. People deal with it in different ways. Some people deal with it with a very nonchalant attitude. Ah, I don't care. Whatever will be, will be. Don't give it much thought. The comedian Spike Milligan took a rather comical view at it. On his grave, he has the words, I told you I was ill. Which to some extent is very comical. To some extent, it shows an element of this nonchalant attitude to it. There is a grave in France that has the words written on it. Here lies a man who went out of the world not knowing why he came into it. And then you get the words of those who know the truth, who know that there is hope. The great preacher Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, he has this written on his grave. Here lies the body of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, waiting for the appearing of his Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Waiting for the appearing. There's hope. There's the hope. Not, I don't know why I came into the world. Not nonchalant, but knowing. In peace, I'm waiting. And this is central to the teaching of the church. The early church knew all about this. Paul spoke in the book of Acts all about the return of Christ, the resurrection of our bodies. So let's have a look. Let's have a look at what Paul tells us. How does he help us understand a little bit more about this? Excuse me. Paul opens 1 Corinthians up. If you have a look, he starts with this phrase. Verse 1, Paul says about the resurrection of Jesus. He says, now I would remind you all of the good news that I preached to you. Paul starts his first verses by reminding them about Jesus. And he says, listen. He says, remember what I've told you. Remember what the scripture said, that Jesus would die and he would rise again. In a physical form. He says, don't forget this. He says, we've got evidence. There were eyewitnesses that saw this. Mary Magdalene, when she went to the tomb, she looked and she thought she saw a gardener. And then Jesus spoke and she said, my Lord, my Saviour. Peter and John saw Christ, their Lord. the 12 disciples. The Bible tells us 500 people saw the risen Christ over 40 days. And Paul is saying in these first few verses, 1 to 11, you must remember this and hold on to that hope. If Christ did it, then it is true for you. There's the hope, he says. And then he moves on, verses 12 to 34. Jude, you might have to move that on for me because I don't think it's moving on. There we go. He moves on in verses 12 to 34 to talk about the resurrection of the dead. And Paul asks him this question. Paul says, now knowing this truth, so what he's saying is knowing that Jesus rose from the dead, knowing that, he says, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection? If it didn't happen for Christ, then it didn't happen for us. But it did. There's the answer. How can some of you say it didn't? Now, the reason some of them were saying this is because there were lots of groups out there that didn't want to believe it. Some of the Jewish groups, the Sadducees, the people that ran the temple, they didn't believe in a future resurrection or eternal life. Some of the pagans believed that the earthly form was inherently evil, and therefore, why would you have a physical body? And Paul's saying, it's rubbish. We have proof from our Saviour that when we die, there will be a time where we will be resurrected. And this is what he's saying in verses 12 to 34. Paul goes on to say, he says, if it's not true, if resurrection is not true, he says, we're all doomed. He said, it is pointless. He says, we might as well close the Bibles, pack the preacher off home, don't often open the coffee bar, tell Dave and the team to close all the PA down, we'll go home now. And it's true, because our hope is in a future hope of a future resurrection. We're here today to thank God for giving us that opportunity, opening that relationship to us, fellowship and encouraging one another. But if there is no future hope, I'll be the first out the door. I'll go and do the gardening. So Paul says there is a future hope. And Paul says here that we have to hold on to that. And he finishes this section in verse 34 by declaring that Christ was raised from the dead, that he will return and he will rule, that Jesus' bodily resurrection is evidence that we will rise. And then Paul moves on again to his third point. He moves on, verse 35 to 49, and he talks about the resurrected body. Now he's really getting to detail here. He's really trying to get to grips with this. Paul talks about our resurrected bodies. And he says in verse 35, there are some of you asking two questions, he says. How are the dead raised? And with what kind of bodies will they have? He's a brave man. This is really getting to the nuts and bolts of what it's all about here. These are very pertinent questions to ask, aren't they? Very sensible questions, perhaps. But look at Paul's response. What does Paul say to this? He says, don't be so foolish. Don't be stupid. That's a bit harsh, Paul. How many interested? He says, don't be so silly. What Paul is saying is here is, look, think about it. He says, it's not that difficult. I disagree. But he says it's not that difficult. And he gives us an example. He says, imagine a seed. When a seed is planted in the ground, the seed has to die before new life appears. The acorn is planted and has to die before the oak tree appears. And the oak tree is nothing like the acorn. Sonia, my wife, reminded me of another example of this, of the moth or the butterfly. When it goes into its cocoon I very naively thought that the butterfly in the cocoon just grows a pair of wings and flutters off. But biologically, it's a lot more detailed than that, and actually a lot more gruesome than that. And I won't go into the detail, but effectively, the moth or the butterfly's body disintegrates, disappears. It dissolves almost into nothingness. And from it, as you know, comes beauty. A new creation, if you like, from it. From nothing, something. And what Paul is trying to get across here is that this is like our own bodies. Our earthly bodies will decay, but from it will come a heavenly body. He says, just as you have a body like Adam and Eve, you will have a body like the man of heaven. Who is the man of heaven? Jesus Christ. You are like Adam and Eve, but you will have a body like Jesus Christ. And we know again, what was Jesus' resurrected body like? Well, he could be seen. He could be touched. Do you remember Thomas touching Christ where he was pierced? He could eat. He had breakfast with the disciples. I'm sure he embraced them. A physical form, yet different. There is one story where the disciples are in an upper room, locked doors because of this, how scared they were that the authorities were going to come and arrest them. And the Bible says that Jesus appeared amongst them. Now, it doesn't say anything about him walking through doors or through walls. And I'm not going to venture into that. But he appears in their midst. We don't quite know how. And so there is something about our bodies that's slightly different as well. And that's right, because we have bodies that perish. We can't live in an eternity with perishable bodies. They have to be different. And so this is what Paul is getting across to them. And it's all about hope. I go off slightly here because this isn't in our reading for today. But those of us that have lost loved ones in the Lord, I think there's a real sense of comfort and peace within this as well. Firstly, that we will meet again. It is not the end. But secondly, and without wanting to stretch something here, because I don't believe there is an exact scripture around this, but I think we can assume that we will recognize one another as well. Why do I say that? Well, on the simple basis, really, that the disciples recognized Christ, who was in a resurrected body, the same as that we will have. And his disciples recognized him. I find it interesting that there are a couple of stories where they didn't quite recognize him to start with, and then it clicked. Maybe that's something to do with the slight difference that there will be. But they recognized him. Their love for him and his love for them was there. And I think there is a peace and a hope in that. And you should hold on to that. So, Paul has presented this, and he finishes with the verses that we read today. Finally, we get to our verses today. Verses 50 to 58. And this is called, in my Bible anyway, the mystery and the victory. Paul essentially sums this up into one big shout of praise. This is probably better sung than it is read, because Paul, having said all this, just declares the joy and the praise because of this hope that we have. And Paul says, he says, flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom. The perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. And Paul gives us this very strange line. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. If you ever see that in scripture, this word mysterio in the Greek, it sounds like a Marvel character, and I think it is a Marvel character actually. But this word, Paul is revealing something that hasn't been revealed before to us. And he says, I tell you a mystery. Some will not die and will be alive when Jesus returns. But all will be changed. What does he mean by that? Well, he's saying that when the Lord returns, there will be some who will not die, that will be alive. But he says, at the same time, in the blink of an eye, all will be changed. This isn't a process like a moth or a butterfly that's going to take time. It's going to be instantaneous. How? We don't quite know. But all will be changed. There's the hope. And this is what Paul ends on here. In the twinkling of an eye, it will be instantaneous. And it's at that point that we can stand and declare, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? And so Paul finishes, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. We do not labor in vain. There is a hope to come. That's why we declare, I believe in the resurrection of the body. It is a declaration of our hope and of a future to come. Thanks be to God, Paul says, that he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. King David in Psalm 16 knew of the hope of the resurrection. He says this, I will not be shaken. My heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, David says. My body will rest in hope because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. Praise God, eh? So, we've opened that verse up a bit, all right? You need to look into it more. There's a lot more in there. And if you've got questions, then wrestle with them, all right? But take away hope. Hope for you, hope for loved ones. Amen? Amen. Amen.